Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. I can't think of a better day for Canucks fans to have a nice, bright, sunny January morning and afternoon following another dismal Canucks performance on home ice.
Yeah, the sun shining is really nice. Like today would have felt, I think, a lot worse for many people.
If we had one of those days where it's like it just feels like night the whole day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I sleep in oftentimes, yes. Right? Because I get it.
Especially after a post game.
Yeah. So like sometimes I'll wake up and it's like 9:30. And I'll wake up and it's like 9:30 and it's so dark. I think it's like 4 or something, right? It's like, oh, no, yeah. It's just gray and cloudy and rainy today. But today was beautiful. And we're all looking for signs. Could this be a positive sign that, you know, that the sun is shining and perhaps there are brighter days ahead?
You would hope so. Who was it? Elliot Friedman this week that said, well, they feel like they've hit rock bottom and now they're coming out of it.
Well, when he said that, you guys know what my reaction was when I heard rock bottom. I'm like, hey, you know me, things can always get worse. So,
what's happened since then? They've lost two games by a combined score of 11-2. Yeah, I just
11-2.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's not great. No. So rock bottom was not really that hard, was it?
It feels like Boo Birds and everything else were out of Rogers Arena for good reason. I mean, this team did not play well last night, and now you're kind of wondering and staring at the rest of this season at a bit of a crossroads. Let's get to it. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Would have been a great time to drop in Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads.
Yeah,
right,
that would have been good.
Instead of the Open intro.
But I mean, yeah, we can't really play that stuff anymore.
No, I guess not.
Royalty free and all that.
It is the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest, well, the Canucks lost 5-1 last night at the hands of the LA Kings. And they're picking up the pieces today at practice at Rogers Arena and trying to lighten the mood. Elias Pettersson finally spoke. He said that the Canucks are looking to get their swagger and their identity back. I think we were doing the post game last night. I said it earlier this week. It's hard to see how this team is performing right now and see how you can salvage this season. Is there a way out of this mess for the Vancouver Canucks right now?
There are always are ways out. I mean, we've seen, they're 1 point out of a playoff spot. We're not even talking about having to go on this like magical run to make the postseason. This isn't like 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
That's not the challenge ahead for them. Like, it's not like this insurmountable mountain or obstacle that they can't get past. So it's not like even that they have to go out there and win 80% of the games or anything, or 75% of the games or anything. It's, can you just start putting some decent performances together and get your head above water again? Because if you get your head above water again and win a few games, it changes the outlook as far as you being in the playoff picture. And right now, we can sit here and talk about what the Canucks should do as contenders, but like, forget that.
Yeah.
You know, now we're at the point where it's like, you just have to focus on the next game, and can you string together a couple of decent performances? You can get some momentum going. Because if you do, you can still be a playoff team. And once you can maybe get in the playoffs, maybe then we can re-engage in the discussion about what this team is. But what are you going to do? You're 1 point out of a playoff spot, mm-hmm. Same amount of games played as the Calgary Flames. You're going to take your hockey bag and go home?
No.
Right? Like, I know fans are frustrated and they want trades, but it's not that simple when it comes to trades. So what are you going to do? Just give up on the season? And this is the biggest character test we've seen from these players. Your backs are against the wall, yeah. And rock bottom may be a bottomless pit. So if you don't get your act together, it's not going to just magically stop. It comes to you stopping it. And we just got to see if these guys actually have that in them. Because right now, there's less than, what, Like, how little faith is there in this team from the greater fan base? There are fans who still believe. There are diehards, of course, but you know, the vast majority at this stage don't have a lot of faith left.
Well, they go down 3-0 in that first period last night, and nobody is thinking that there's a comeback in this squad, right? Same thing happened to the Edmonton Oilers against Colorado last night, and they came back and won in regulation. They've got the firepower. Their star players can pick their team up on their shoulders and will their squad to a victory when they need it. But you don't have that right now with the Canucks. You have Quinn Hughes, who's trying his best, doing his darndest to be able to do what he can to get this team into a better spot, but it's not enough. And I know it's frustrating for us too, because it is a broken record. You look at this team and it really all comes back to their star players, namely the two that are a combined, what, $19.6 million in JT Miller and Elias Pettersson, and needing them to be better. And now you're almost 50 games into the season. You still haven't seen it from these guys. And last night, yeah, there's a few of those goals on JT. But even the third goal, I don't love Pettersson's back check there. Don't love that he doesn't speak to the media after the game, even if he wasn't requested. Should be an expectation. Maybe that's on me for having too high of expectations for the standards of this team that are supposed to be raised. But until these guys show more of that, and especially Elias Pettersson, some of that character and leadership, I think you're going to continue running in cement with how this team is performing this season, with a good performance here, a good performance there, but it's never going to get on the track that you can believe in it as anything more than a bubble playoff squad.
And of course, this team, especially on the back end, doesn't have the horses outside of Hughes and Hronek. And it's very clear that it is not good enough, the blue line beyond those two players, right? Up front, though, there have obviously been the struggles. You mentioned Pettersson, JT, of course. But there is tangible talent.
Yes.
Quinn Hughes is playing like one of the best players in the league. And
it's,
has for
it's,
a couple
it's
years.
Not Chicago, like where, you know, Connor Bedard's on an island.
So they are, even if you don't think they're contenders, they are underachieving by a great degree still, right? And I think the question that we all have is the shoe going to drop, and are they going to get rid of somebody? But I think that is so complicated, and I think that it's such a difficult thing to do, and that's what we're seeing these things really not come to fruition, and we can get to some rumors later and a lot of questions people have about it. But
it is a mailbag Friday, after
yes,
all.
Yes, it is. But that trade, magical trade, isn't in the like hasn't really materialized yet. And this season, in so many ways, is reminding me of 93-94, where the Canucks are coming off this really magical 92-93 season, and they had a really good run and showed a lot of promise, a lot of talent. And the expectation was in 93-94 that they were going to be a better hockey team. And they just kind of sputtered all year. And they made that huge trade at the deadline. And after that, they still kind of sputtered through the season, but they got to the playoffs and they had real talent and it kind of came together, right? And I think for all the people saying, yeah, you give up on the season, you trade everything away. And when it comes to your rentals, you may have to make some tough decisions. But as far as just giving up on it, like, there is enough talent on this team that if things get right, like, at least you're not just a bottom feeder, you know? Like, we're not sitting here talking about teams where we looked at, you know, 5 or 6 years ago and said, what's the point of making the playoffs anyways? Like, this team has zero chance. You're getting swept in the first round. Like, there is enough talent in this team to win a round, maybe even two, and do something. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Stanley Cup, but that was the expectation going into the season.
Yeah.
So I don't think you give up on the season, but some tough decisions are going to be made by the deadline if you keep sputtering. But I just see a lot of parallels between this team and 94, and I'm kind of waiting for the big trade to happen at some point that maybe changes the dynamic enough to give them a chance of doing something.
Who's going to radio Sat and say that Sat predicts Canucks will make Stanley Cup final?
I just mean regular season. Forget the playoffs.
Fair, like, fair enough.
From the regular back of 60 goals from Kiefer Sherwood.
Hey, listen, he hasn't gotten hot yet. He still has like 45 goals to score.
He has some flashes, though. He's got that potential for another 60 this season.
I mean, you have Quinn Hughes playing at the level he's playing at.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we'll talk to Yannick coming up in a bit too about him. But I think he's one of those players that when he's at this level,
yeah,
not only do you have to take advantage of it the best you can, but also, Like, how much time do you have with Quinn? You have 2 years left with him, right? And is Quinn going to sit here and be around a team that's going to flounder and be up and down year to year and be inconsistent? I mean, that, there's an obvious answer to that. Well, it's not the answer that Canucks fans want to hear.
And there's always that voice in the back of your head that's going to wonder, like, does Quinn ultimately want to be a lifetime Canuck? And, you know, I get that. There's no way of knowing until, you know, we get to that stage where he's close to unrestricted free agency or he's eligible to sign a new contract as a Canuck. So it's definitely part of this conversation, though, because, yeah, the ongoing sell job to Quinn Hughes that this is an organization he can win with, it's ongoing. That process is always, from him, from his perspective, he's always evaluating that. And I'm sure when you look at this right now, like, the reason I say it's at a crossroads is because, like I said the other day, I'm not willing or wanting to see this team commit assets to adding to this group right now in hopes of a playoff run of some kind, even if they are a point out of the postseason as we sit here today. I'm more willing to listen to, yeah, it's maybe time to move on from Brock Besser and see what you can get from that asset and find a way to shake up the core a little bit more. You can talk about JT Miller until you're blue in the face, and I know there were more rumors today, and I know we're getting more questions about that, but it's an incredibly complicated move compared to Brock Besser, who's a pending unrestricted free agent, and as a rental is just infinitely more movable than JT Miller is right now.
JT is so complicated when it comes to a deal, right? And as far as Besser goes, it's pretty straightforward. You're not signing him, you trade him, especially in a year like this. If the Canucks had been playing at a high level, you could entertain the idea of, let's play through the year and see what happens, and we'll still sign him. But if we don't, like, maybe it's a worthwhile gamble because we're kind of in that window, right? But they haven't shown that should be a real consideration.
No.
We discussed this a bit, you know, yesterday and the other day.
It does not make sense to keep him as your own rental right now.
No. So it's pretty straightforward, though. It's, you move him out. And there's still a world where you can move him out and get a lesser top six player back in return in another trade, giving up lesser asset that can at least still keep you in the mix and not sink your season entirely. And I think that could be a realistic outlook here, that with what could happen with Besser as we get closer to the trade deadline. But is that enough? Is a Besser trade, is moving Besser and then making a trade or getting somebody back in return to mix things up, is that enough to shake things up, so to speak? Is that a shakeup the team needs? Or is that just a trade that just has to happen because of your circumstances?
To me, it feels like a trade that has to happen in your circumstance. Like, for as much as Besser is a part of the core, like, it's more of like the secondary core that Besser is kind of a part of. He's there with Hronek and maybe even Demko to a certain extent. But like, this team, it needs Hughes, Miller, and Pettersson to go at a high level. Like, Besser can be playing well, but it's usually a product of JT Miller's playing like a house on fire, as we saw last year. And now JT's going through it a little bit, and guess what? Besser's numbers have started to dip. He's not been able to lift his game and find a way to continue scoring while JT has struggled. Even in the moments that he's played with Pettersson, sure, he scored, you know, the puck bounced off his foot and he scored a goal in Toronto. Great. But he hasn't been the Brock Besser that we saw earlier this season. He hasn't been the Brock Besser that we saw certainly last year. So I consider Brock a big part of this team. And yeah, in a vacuum, I think he's probably worth $8 million because that's what the going rate is for a guy who scores like Brock Besser does. But right now, that just doesn't feel like the right move for this team. It feels like the right move is to move on from this player. And then the ongoing crossroads you're having, discussions you're having is, and I think this is probably the biggest one that you're discussing within the organization, within the front office right now, over the next 6 weeks, even final few months of the season, is, is Elias Pettersson a player that we can win with? Because you have the deadline of the no move clause that kicks in on July 1st. And I am an incredible, you know, believer in his talent, but there are a lot more things that go into a player being somebody you can win with than just talent. And those are the things that I think are coming into question right now with Pettersson. And it's starting to feel a bit like a PK Subban situation where, hey, we understand this is one of the best defensemen in the league, but maybe we want to get out of this contract before the no move clause kicks in. And that, I think, is where you're at with the Canucks. And it's pretty obvious considering how many discussions and rumors have floated around about Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear at this stage that this year is the big year, right? And as far as Miller is concerned, we've talked about that too, and maybe we should just get to it here, mm-hmm. right? Like the latest is kind of being linking Miller to the Devils, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my question is, how do you line up a trade that makes sense for both parties? I've mentioned before that I can see Dawson Mercer as being a player the Canucks have liked in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that's at right now, but he does kind of fit as a player that they have liked and kind of do like. Right-handed guy too, has versatility, is still young. $4 million, but he hasn't really popped offensively. I think he has 10 goals this year, but it's not really big. Like, we're talking very much a guy who's a third line center. You're hoping to maybe becomes a second line center. His goal scoring rate's been actually pretty good. So there are some things, tangible things there that he can bring. Number one, is Jersey willing to do that? And what are you doing in addition to that? Like, because Nemec and Dawson Mercer.
That seems like, I mean, I don't know if it doesn't make you better today or this season. But that's, to me, that was too easy of a trade to really think about if you're the Vancouver. Like, I'm wondering why the Devils would do that.
Well, I'm saying if that had been on the table, for instance, don't you think that would have been done?
Yeah, you're at that point, you're probably asking JT if he's willing to waive.
Yeah, at least you have some discussions. And, you know, I know there's been some denials by the Devils that they've had any discussions about this. Tom Fitzgerald, I know Dave Pignota had a quote from him saying that he's friends with Alvin, but they have not spoken about this. Or
used to be, Fitzgerald used to be in the Pittsburgh front office as well.
So they know each other really well, right? So that's what he said publicly at the very least. So I'm not sure there's anything really imminent on it. And that's kind of been my sense with the Canucks recently, too. I've talked about this and even talking to people recently that nothing seems to be close. Mm-hmm. Obviously, these guys are active. We'll see what happens. The Devils thing, I just see a hard time also making the money work. Eric Haula has a no-trade clause. I've seen people trying to throw him in, and he's a decent player. He struggled this year, but he has a no-trade clause to begin with. And then are you talking about adding guys like Bastian and Thomas Tatar to make the money work?
Yeah.
Do you do something along those lines? Like, you do some stuff, but I don't see a seamless fit there. You know what I mean?
It's, well, any trade mock-up you might do with JT Miller, there's no real seamless fit. There's a reason why the Zibanejad for Miller rumor started and why it was easy to look at and see as something that could be done, because the money basically matches.
And here's the thing, like, Nemec is a player that obviously has really high potential, second overall pick in 2022, yeah. Right? It obviously hasn't clicked for him yet. He does have a lot of guys to fight with for ice time with the Devils, and clearly, you know, some guys on the right side are kind of blocking his path to play in the role he wants to play.
They got Dougie Hamilton. They signed Brett Pesce this year.
Right. It's kind of like Yurechek, though. It's like you kind of wonder why he's still available, though, right? Why is he not, you know, maybe getting some more opportunity? It's still early enough in his career, but the price is going to be very high.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're not getting... Are they moving him for JT? And if they are, I don't know if they're willing to give you a lot more than that. Mercer has to probably be in the deal because the money has to work. You have to add a salary in there. But that's like their top asset. That's their top trade asset.
Yeah. Personally, that feels more like a package you're starting for Elias Pettersson than it does JT Miller.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that for Pettersson.
Mm-hmm.
But
neither would I. I would still want more. But
I think the Devils have
Nemec feels like a kind of centerpiece of a package that you could get started for Elias Pettersson rather than JT Miller.
Nemec probably has more value than Yurechek.
Yeah, and Yurechek went for a pretty big haul.
Yeah, first and a bunch of other picks and a prospect, right?
So, I mean, he was a second overall pick just not that long ago, and he's a right shot D man with a ton of potential. So it's hard to really paint this picture and wonder, could it be done? And hey, there's been all kinds of speculation, but really, I still think a JT Miller trade is a lot more complicated than what most people see on the surface.
Yeah, like you're not getting better this year trading JT.
No.
You know, like if you're trading JT, you're not getting
better. Well, I mean,
this
the way
year.
He's playing right now.
Yeah, but I mean, that's your ceiling isn't any higher.
No, that's fair.
Right? Like, sure, maybe you're better in the regular season and you finish the first wild card instead of the second wild card. But that doesn't give you a better chance in the postseason.
No, it's a tough one right now. And the way out of this for the Canucks, first off, start playing better. And then you can start to make some easier decisions beyond that. The Canucks Central Roundup. Canucks showed the same lineup in practice today at Rogers Arena. So the lineup you saw lose 5-1 to the LA Kings last night was mostly still intact. Well, was fully still intact. A little bit of a switch up on the D pairs beyond Hughes and Hronek, but otherwise the same lineup. And Tockett is calling his group tight and looking for them to loosen up. The losing is clearly weighing on the group, and they're pressing a little bit more, and that's where you start to get into trouble. You're not trusting each other as teammates, and we're kind of moving back in time, Sat, with some of the things that we talked about before Tockett got in here and even early in the Tockett era, the things that he had to clean up when he first got to Vancouver.
Yes and no. Like, I agree. Like, as far as confidence and mental makeup goes, yes, but I don't think they're playing the same. Like, JT's mistakes are very much, you know, bad mistakes, but structurally, it's not like they're foundationally horrible consistently, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think they have to have their entire, you know, framework rebuilt. If anything, it's like, how are you guys not generating more, right? Like, it's things like that. But I think, to your point, they're a very mentally fragile group right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's for a guy like Rick Tockett, I think it's a huge challenge for him the rest of the season to see if he can make this into a real playoff team, right? And if he can, I think we'll be looking at his performance and say, hey, this is why he won the Norris Trophy. I'm sorry, the Jack Adams Award last year. If he doesn't, it's going to create more questions as the year goes on. And that's maybe harsh to put on a coach, but you're kind of in the middle of it here, right? And I do think he has, like, if there's a coach that's going to turn him around, that's with the team, I do think Tockett's that type of guy.
We will hear from Yannick Hansen, his take on what's going on with this club right now and where they stand. Is there a way out of it? We'll talk to Yannick Hansen next on Canuck Central.
Who's going to radio Sat and say that Sat predicts Canucks will make Stanley Cup final?
And they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.